there, and welcome to the Momtana podcast.
This is Kaya from Montana.
And Jacqueline from Wyoming. And you're listening to our segment, Pioneer Pulse.
We've got our finger on the pulse of birth in rural America. So listen in.
And let's begin.
All right. So today we're talking about how to get your partner on board for home birth. I'm biased.
Yes.
And I feel like partners don't have a hard time with getting on board for like hospital births and stuff, but they definitely seem to have a hard time with home births. So yep. I figured we would just sort of riff and share some reasons or, you know, some how to steps to mm-hmm. get your partner on board. So what's your, I'm throwing you in first. What's your number one?
I think the number one is before you even decide on location of birth, you need to know what you want your birth to look like. And that will kind of, I feel like, point you in the direction of where you want to have your baby. So obviously if all of the things that you are looking for in a birth experience are pointing you towards out of hospital birth, then that kind of gives you your sign, I guess. And then,
yeah, that's a great point.
I feel like when you're talking about trying to get partners, especially male partners, husbands on board with home birth, you have to understand where they're coming from. And I think also how they process information. So of course their biggest concern almost always, I feel like in my experience, has been they want it to be safe and they don't necessarily think that it is. So women and men, this may be controversial now, but women and men, I think, they learn about things differently. They talk about things differently. So with someone who is trying to convince their husband or male partner into home birth, is they're going to need to see something concrete that shows them that it is safe. You can talk to them all about it. And I think you should talk to them all about why you want to have a home birth and why it's important to you, so that they understand that from your perspective. But in order to convince them, if that's what you're trying to do, they're going to need to see something that tells them that it's safe, because that's their concern, is that they are trying to keep their family safe and they don't want to go into something that they feel like is unsafe and then feel like they have failed you because something terrible has happened. So understanding the statistics of home birth and the safety statistics specifically, there's places to find those, online. If you have a midwife that you've chosen, whether they're licensed or not, we've talked about all of those nuances many times, but your midwife should be able to give some of that information as well. I think that's an important thing, is you should find a midwife who knows their own safety statistics. Or a doula, if you have a doula or a childbirth educator who is not necessarily affiliated with a facility like a hospital, but somebody who's like a third party private childbirth educator or a doula, they should be able to give you that information as well. But you're going to have to present that information in a way that appeals to the way that men like to learn information. And that's generalization. Not everyone is the same. But so thinking about that, your husband. So it's like, finding a way to communicate that on a level that he feels comfortable with, whatever that is. Right. And most of the time it's going to be like hard data and statistics and things like that.
Yeah. No, that's a really great point. Yes. I think the education piece is important, and especially on the safety data and stuff like that. And then I feel like that's where I see this sort of fall apart for people, is when they're trying to present this information to their, again, and we're just, I think for the rest of this episode, I'm just going to assume male partner, and I'm going to use the word husband probably a lot. So just know if your male partner, the father of your child, is not your husband, just like, it's an honorary
insert
title.
That your preferred. Just,
you're right. Insert, change what I'm saying to what you prefer to call him. But this is, I am going to sort of generalize. We're talking about male partners, husbands, whatever. So yeah. So husbands, and now I'm going to correct myself anyway, male partners, it falls apart for a lot of people because they try to like, oh, listen to this entire podcast episode that's got a whole lot of fluff in it or whatever. Listen to all of this. It's great. And I literally do the same thing, but I know my husband really well. And I'm like, I know he's not going to want to, he's going to resist this like to no end. But if I really feel like I can't find another way to convey whatever the information is that's in there, it's kind of like, this is the last thing that I can do is tell you to listen to this. But actually, that's actually not. So one of the ways that I helped my husband learn about the things that I was learning about with our first pregnancy, and this, so just for a little bit of context, we were choosing to do an unassisted birth, no midwife, no, you know, practitioner or whatever, and, you know, doing a home birth. And this was with our first baby. So he was like very, I mean, and his instinct, my husband's instinct, and most men, I am going to super generalize, it is a masculine instinct, the nature of men to want to protect their family, to be protective. So that's his main priority, is how can I make sure my, the love of my life is going to be safe. So I knew that that was going to be important to him. And I had this information that I felt was going to benefit him in understanding that it was going to be safe or whatever, or, you know, as safe as it could be. Yes, so what exactly. And a lot of what I was learning was through these like audio sources and stuff like that. And he was never going to listen to the whole podcast. So what we would do, what I would do is I would catch him, you know, we were commuting a lot in certain parts of our commuting journey. Like I would pick him up and we would go. And so we had this time in the car to listen to podcasts and stuff. So what I would do is I would take note if I had heard something that I really, really wanted him to listen to. I would take note and I would only listen to that like 5 or 10 minutes where the most of the meat of the information was. Mm-hmm. And we would listen to it together. And then I would like pause and be like, do you have any questions? or I would pause and we would talk about it. And he would share his concerns with me and I would share my thoughts, you know, yes, that concerns me too. So I was thinking, you know, if this happened, then we could do X, Y, Z sort of thing. Yeah. So that was how I utilized those audio sources in a way that he was actually going to listen and actually digest. Because again, if I just like dumped a bunch of resources on his lap, he's not going to get into that. Like, because it's not that he doesn't care. It's just that, like, I can't imagine someone doing that to me in the reverse. Like, I would also get I would probably get overwhelmed and be like, I'll get to that when I can. And then I won't. And then I just won't ever get to it. So very important piece is knowing your husband and knowing how they're going to digest that information and then presenting it to them in a way that they will actually digest. So yes, excellent jumping off point.
So but I think it's important too that people, you know, there of course is validity in saying like, ultimately, you know, it is your birth and you are the one going through the birth experience. So of course it should be your choice. But a lot of people are like, I've seen a lot of people say things like, it doesn't matter what your husband wants. It doesn't matter. Don't let him tell you what to do. And of course, like, if you're in a situation where your husband is literally like telling you, like, I forbid you to do something, then I think there's more issues than just whether or not you're having home birth.
There's more going on than just that. Right.
Of course, it is an important thing to remember that this is ultimately, you're the one that's pushing a person out of your body. So you should be in a place that you're the most comfortable and you should be choosing someplace that's conducive to you having the best experience. But just like when you're having, let's say, a breech baby vaginally, you want the person or persons who are there to be able to support you and be, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you have somebody who's doing something that they're not comfortable with because they're not going to be able to support you. So of course, trying to make your husband or partner more supportive or feel more comfortable is in the long run, just going to help you as well.
Right.
Because you don't want anybody, whether it's your doula, your midwife, your OB or whoever you have, or your husband or your mom or whoever, bringing us this energy of fear into your birth space.
Right.
Because they're not going to be able to support you in a way that is confident and that has confidence in you and your choice. So yes, agree to some level that, of course, you don't want someone to dictate to you, whoever it is, whether it's your husband or your doctor, right, or your midwife, whatever, what you can and can't do in your birth. But you also don't want to, you wouldn't choose I'd hope you wouldn't choose a birth provider, whoever that is, who is not on board with your plans, because I think we all know, like, I'm not going to try to have a vaginal breech birth and pick an OB in a hospital who only does cesareans and has never done a breech birth. Well, that's not going to help you at all. They're not going to be able to help. Same thing. I mean, your husband is obviously going to know you better and be more supportive of you than somebody like that, but you want to make sure that you can bring them along to a point where they can feel comfortable enough to support them in the way that you're going to need them to. They know you better than anybody else in the birth space. So you obviously want them to be able to support you, because they're going to be able to anticipate what you need. They're going to be able to communicate with you on a level that somebody else isn't. So of course, I would digress a little bit from the people that are like, it's ultimately your decision, even though it is, but you want, if you have somebody that you're bringing in that you want to be there to support you, then it's best that you help them to become comfortable with that. If you can, it's only going to help you.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And I love that you spoke to that too, because that is something that I see a little bit too much. It's coming on a little too strong. It's like an overcorrection. The pendulum has swung a little too far in one direction when they're saying like, oh, well, it doesn't matter what he thinks, or it doesn't matter what he's saying, or whatever. It's your body. Just ignore him. Do what you want anyway. Well, that's, first of all, together you guys brought in this life. You invited in this soul together. It was a decision made, even if it wasn't a planned pregnancy or whatever. Like, you guys did, dance.
The group project.
Right. So together you're bringing in this new family member, and together you're creating this family unit. And so his voice in the matter is important and valid, but his role is different. And I think that that's what people are trying to convey, is that it's not necessarily his role to dictate, you know, what's going on, or to dictate to you what you're comfortable with, or what, you know, things like that. But it is his role to be protector and, you know, guardian of you and his family unit. And before anybody wants to whine at me or be mad at me for saying that it's his role to protect, it's not that mothers don't protect their family. Okay, mama bear is a thing, but it is his like divine masculine role to protect, to be the protector, and you both can protect, but it is his like assignment to, just like in pregnancy, it is mom's assignment. It is the divine feminine assignment to bear the child and birth the child. So just keeping the roles in mind and respecting both roles.
And I think that's the fallacy, is that we criticize the hospital so much for marginalizing fathers. And we're always quick to say, like, this is his experience too, and we should be including the fathers in the birth at the hospital. Oh, yeah. And I agree with that, absolutely. But that should translate to any birth space. So if we're going to support that collaboration between the parents in the hospital, then we can't turn around and say that there's no collaboration, there's no consideration for the dad in the home birth space. That doesn't make any sense. That's two sides. There are two sides of the same coin. You can't have you can't have it one way and not the other, I don't think.
Right. Yeah. And the reality too is that, just like it's her birth of her baby, and she's going to carry this experience with her for the rest of the life. This is their rest of her life. This is their family. And as the midwife might move on, the doula will move, you know, might move on, you know, all these different people that are sort of here for this particular event are going to move on with their lives, but this is their life. This is the family's life. Yep. And I feel like this actually, it's almost a lighthearted title of this episode. It's a little tricksy of me, because I actually think that this is a foundational pillar for the health of the family moving forward. So many, there are just so many people that they end up divorcing, or they end up separating, and all of this in like the first year of their baby's life. And sometimes even while she's still pregnant, they're mm-hmm. separating and stuff like that. And obviously it's not cut and dry, and there are lots, usually other factors in there. But when, you know, there might be a little bit of a strain or some challenges with trusting each other or learning how to grow together and things like that. And then you add in this mentality and this attitude of like, well, your opinion doesn't matter because I'm the one having the baby. That is only causing division in the family. It's only breaking up a foundation that we, as birth workers and birth community, you know, supporters, we should be strengthening that foundation rather than trying to cause little cracks and things like that. So it is almost silly to be like, we're trying to convince him to come on board for the home birth, because we are, but we're not at the same time. It's really more of like how to strengthen your trust and respect for each other when it comes to home birth or whatever, so that things can be best supported, like you said, mm-hmm. like everybody in the birth space being of the right, most supportive mindset.
Well, I think it's important too, because we talk a lot about, and it's something that's been talked a lot about recently, is that dads do experience birth trauma as well.
Yes, and absolutely.
They talk about it with, you know, when you're talking to your clients, your pregnant clients, about birth trauma or about avoiding birth trauma, they talk about, you know, becoming educated. And that's why birth planning is so important. It's not because your birth is going to go 100% the way your birth plan wants, but it's because you've taken the time to become educated about the birth process and about interventions and about things like that. And that's essentially what we're doing here, is that the concern is that home birth is not safe. So if you enter it with that mindset, you're more likely to experience trauma, even from a birth that maybe goes well, but because you don't understand necessarily the process that's occurring.
Mm-hmm.
So part of getting your partner on board with home birth is just providing education for them to feel, again, comfortable and feel like they understand what it actually is. Because of course, we all know there's a lot of misconceptions about home birth.
Right.
And so part of that is just providing that same education that, you know, the mom is seeking and that we're trying to give to them. And that we're trying to, of course, have a good outcome, and we're trying to avoid an experience that is negative or that creates trauma that then perpetuates any negative stigma about home birth.
Right. Yes.
We want this dad to go tell his male friends how awesome it was.
Right. Yeah. And they do that. It's very brief, you know. I feel like every time I hear, you know, and I do the same thing. I'll tell somebody, you know, the whole story about why it was great. And my husband will tell, like, he's told me that some coworkers or whatever, like, oh, your wife had her baby, everything go good? Yeah, it was good. We had the baby at home. Oh, just you guys? Yep. All right,
it was awesome.
Anyway,
and
yes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, they talk about it with each other just as concisely as that's how they learn. That's how they're going to then talk about it with their friends.
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
Give them the condensed version, because that's the version they're going to give all their friends and be like, dude, it was awesome. I mean, I literally have had a dad say that out of his mouth, like, dude, that was so awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes. And I think the other part of it too, so we talked a little bit about trauma, and we talked about their role as protector. And a lot of the time the trauma for dads comes from, so dads, even when everything is going well, my husband has said this, that when now he's more familiar with the birth process and everything, but when I was having my first, he was there for me. He was excellent support, but internally he's shared this with me, you know, obviously way after the fact, but internally he was like, I can't, she's in pain and I can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. She's suffering and I can't do anything about it. And that was what he was grappling with in himself. Yep. And he, you know, like, no matter what we know of the labor process as the woman laboring, you know, it could be intense. It can be surges. It can be contractions. It can be very painful. It can be not painful at all. You know, like, you know, there's different things, these different ways that labor can feel. But that's what we know from our own experience. From the outside, mm-hmm. it just looks like we're rolling around in agony, you know, in, mm-hmm. to some extent. And so he's seeing this, and that was what he was grappling with in himself, is I can't help. I can't protect her from this pain. I can't stop this pain. Mm-hmm. And when things really are going awry or getting really intense or getting a little sketchy, the dads, that's what seems to be going on in themselves. Mm-hmm. And their trauma comes from their inability to protect, or, you know, when they're in a space where there is a practitioner that is not a good practitioner, like someone who is controlling and abusing and things like that. The dads often, from what I've heard, they feel like they've failed at protecting her from trauma. They've failed at protecting her against these people that abused her, you know, mm-hmm. but they're like in this position where they can't do something because they don't want to get kicked out, because then they really can't be there for her, you know, all these different mm-hmm. things. And so again, understanding what his divine role is in this process and facilitating the education so that he can understand, presenting it in a way that he can process it, and mm-hmm. And then ultimately knowing, like I just put some of the, I'm still working on my birth course that I'm creating, but I just did a bunch of affirmations like for partnership, and one of the things that is like number one is that, you know, the affirmation is we love each other. Is that mm-hmm. he loves you, he loves this baby, he loves this family that he's helping to create, and any concern, any like, whoa, I'm not okay with that, or oh, I don't want to do that, or no, we're not gonna, you know, like any of those types of like firm, you know, stances, it's almost like it's just a knee-jerk reaction a lot of the time. Like he's scared mm-hmm. for you because he loves you dearly and he wants to protect and he wants the best for his family. And so I think understanding that any resistance from him is coming most likely from a place of fear, mm-hmm. and a fear that he's not going to be able to protect you in that situation, or that seems scary because he's not understanding it or whatever. And again, it's all from the fact that he loves you and his family dearly. So everybody needs to keep that in mind too, I think, because it's easy to sort of see the surface level things that are being said and not, and forget to look past that from where is that coming from?
Well, I've seen that with actual clients that I've had. I had a client who, her husband it was her third baby, and he was absolutely dead set against her having a home birth. He was really worried about it. He just didn't. And he came across as being really, like pushy about it and really just kind of like overbearing. But, she continued to talk to him about it. She would ask me for resources about, like, you know, home birth and things like that. And their hospital that they were going to have their baby at was not a great hospital. It was one of the more rural hospitals. It was just, mm-hmm. she didn't want to go there. She had a bad experience there before. And so eventually they talked to a midwife that was closest to them, which was still like 3 hours away, because welcome to Wyoming. But he was mm-hmm. like, somehow she got him on board. And then I ended up getting COVID, so I couldn't go to their birth because it was like the day, second day after I got COVID, and I had like 103 degree fever. And of course I'm not going to go to somebody's birth and be like, let me give your baby COVID. Yeah. So, and the midwife was like 3 hours away. Well, she ended up having like a precipitous labor. So they ended up pretty much, the midwife got there when the baby's head had like emerged. So they basically did most of it by themselves. She did have a friend come over and do doula stuff who had babies. So she had a friend come. And afterwards, Dad was like, that was the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's like, that was the coolest thing that's ever happened. Because he ended up pretty much catching his baby, which was not the plan at all. And now he's just like all on board with home birth. But I think, like you said, it wasn't that he didn't want his wife to have a good experience. It wasn't like he didn't want her to, it's like he wanted her to have, you know, more birth trauma. It was just, he didn't understand home birth. And we are often very, very afraid of things that we don't know.
Right.
So I think when you're talking to people, you know, especially clients, it's a great opportunity to facilitate communication. I always talk to my, exactly what you said, I always talk to my parents about those things, about the fact that it is really hard to see your wife or the mother of your child in pain, because we're used to things like, I hit my hand with a hammer and now it hurts.
Right.
But that pain, this pain has a purpose. So it's talking to them about the progress of normal labor and how intense it is. And the fact that, yes, it is intense and it can be very painful for many people, but it has a purpose and it's doing mm-hmm. something, performing a function. And also letting them be an authority on their partner. And that's not, I'm not saying that in like a derogatory way or a possessive way. I'm saying they know right. their partner better than I do. So I'm like, you guys need to talk about what right. she normally seeks out for comfort. And then you can help provide that for her when she's in labor, because you know her better than I do. You right. know the things that make her feel better and the things that she likes and she doesn't like. So it reminds them that they are the authority out of all of us on their partner. Right. So it's right. like asking yep. them, and that's what most of my birth support is, not solely based on the mother. It's supporting both of them. And it's a lot of it is supporting the father to be the primary support for her.
Right.
Because yep. that makes the most sense. That's the person they feel safest, usually, not always,
right.
but that's the person that right. typically that they feel the safest with anyway. So we're of course trying to facilitate a feeling of safety there. So again, allowing them to tap into that information that they already have about this person that they right. know so well, and let them communicate with you about, like, I think this is working, or I think this isn't working, or maybe we can try this. What do you think? It involves them in it in a way where they feel like they have more control, which makes you yes. feel safer. And then of course, I always tell them another point of communication that goes along with the pain control thing, because again, you're seeing somebody in pain, and especially in transition, when suddenly everyone wants to transfer to the hospital, everyone wants an epidural, everyone is done. Of course,
yeah.
it's like so intense. So communicating yeah. with them as to, we need to be able to figure out at this point whether it is a true request, like to go to the hospital, or if it's a request for support. And a lot of times it is. A lot of times, I think you would probably agree, a lot of times it's just, I need more support because I feel like I'm out of control at this point.
Right.
And I just need more support. But I'm always encouraging them to talk and be like, you guys need to figure out a way for her to communicate to you, no, I really am done. Something is wrong, yeah. or I'm tired, or I can't do this anymore, versus no, I really just need you to tell me that this is almost over. So
right.
again, it facilitates yeah. that, like, I'm going to tell you in this way, whether it's a safe word, as weird as that sounds, but I'm going to tell you in this way that this pain is now something that I can't cope with anymore. Or
right.
no, I just need you to support me more, or I need you to support me differently. So
yeah.
I always encourage them to have that conversation ahead of time, so that you're not in the throes of labor trying to focus and then having these long drawn out paragraph length conversations with somebody who can only think in one word sentences. Like, we're not going to do that.
Right.
At the moment. So you guys need to work this out ahead of time so that we're not.
Right.
When yes. someone's like, I can't even talk to you. So I yeah. think that's important as birth workers, as midwives, doulas, childbirth educators, whatever role you play, is encouraging that kind of collaboration between partners, so that they do feel like they have a plan and that they can do something together. And then they're just telling you, this is what our plan is. This is what we right. decided that we need.
Yeah. 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 And remembering again, like the foundation of, like, he loves you, you love each other, and you're on the same team. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's not you versus him and that sort of thing. It's the family unit that's being created or added to or whatever. And, yeah, I just, If I keep talking, I will just repeat what I've already said. But yeah, so I think, so like our little recap, I think is maybe step one, educate. So, you know, if we're going to the how to get your partner on board, you know,
mm-hmm.
so step one, educate with the little sub note of, in a way that he's going to process it, in a way yes. that he's actually going to
be receptive to it.
Right. Step two. What is step two? Remember. I don't even know my step two. Step two, he loves you. He loves you. Remember where things are coming from, I think. That he's his own person. He has his own role of protector and things like that.
Collaborating. So,
right.
You need to give them ownership some way. Like, and I'm not saying give over your power. I'm not saying give over your decision-making, because ultimately, yes, at the end of the day, you are the person who should be making that decision, but give them some semblance of control, you know, as far as helping you with comfort measures, as far as being somebody who knows you well enough to help you create a birth plan for your birth that really is tailored to who you are and helps him feel like he's doing something helpful. You know, like I said, the helplessness is the hardest part, because they see you in pain and they don't know what to do. Well, let's help them feel like they do know what to do, because that's going to go a long way towards making them feel competent and then safe and then receptive to this plan.
Right. And it's not like let's give them, you know, a puzzle or whatever. It's not like that, like giving them a real job. I mean, the reason that modern allopathic medicine is so like busy with their hands is it's from that masculine, you know, perspective of doing is better, like doing something is better than not doing something.
Yep.
And there is a place for that. And so when our men in the birth space have a job to do, they feel like they, and it's not just like they're feeling this way, but they really are supporting the process in the way that is part of their role. So
in a meaningful way. Yes.
Yes. In a meaningful way. Exactly. So allowing for that, and helping facilitate that so that, because ultimately mom is the one that needs the ultimate support. It is a family unit, and he needs support in knowing how to support, but she's the end goal, I guess. Mm-hmm. She's the queen on the throne doing the thing for this time, and the rest of the court needs to know what they need to do to serve the queen, you know, to take to,
yeah, well, and it's like she's the captain of the ship, but I mean it takes more than one person usually to steer it, so
right,
yeah, where it needs to go.
Yeah, and all of the analogies that whatever. So many analogies that we could use, and I'm refraining from saying more. But yeah, so I think this was good, because it's really not that complicated. You know, I think sometimes it gets overcomplicated, but it's simple. Remember, you're on the same team. He loves you. He needs, you know, education, just like we all did at some point. And we need to be able to actually digest the information that we're being presented with. So yeah. And then otherwise it's go time, you know, like we're all being thrown into the deep end of the pool, with parenthood. Like we're all learning. Yes.
It's great if it came with instructions, but it doesn't. So we're all learning all the time, every day.
Right. Exactly.
Right? We're learning about the potty, right?
So. Yes. Yeah. You're in potty training mode. So fun.
Exactly.
I say that with rolling eyes.
I do feel hard. Like, I will say this as an aside before we wrap up. I literally feel like I am like living my doula role so much when it comes to trying to get my kid to poop on the potty. And this may be TMI for people who don't have kids, but literally he's like, I need to hug you. So I'm like hugging him while he's sitting on the toilet. How many times have you done that with a mom in labor where you're like, I will just, and he's like, yes. And you're telling them like, it's okay. You're going to feel so much better if you just relax and let it come out. It's like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm like, I am doula-ing my child through pooping in the potty. It's just
hilarious.
But that's, it's true. So I was just like, this is so much like a mom having a baby, plus you also do feel like you need to poop, so it's just like there's so much, it's like come full circle. I'm like, whoever thought that I used this in my own life.
Yeah, such a parallel. You know, yes. What's cute though, what popped in my head is that if, you know, if he, when he grows up if he finds, you know, a wife and has babies or whatever, I guarantee he's going to take this experience. Yeah, he's going to know how to support her because you're dueling him for potty training.
I only know how to support you when you're laboring on the toilet, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have nothing for you.
Yeah. But he's got more. That's more than what some men have. Yeah. So
and the toilet's a great place to labor. So I feel like it's a bonus.
Yeah, There you go. Good job, Mom.
Comfort measure number one. Teach your husband about supporting you on the toilet.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me about this. I thought of this topic and I was like, you know what? This has to be something that Jacqueline's in on. Mm-hmm. Like we got to chat about this together because it's just going to be so much better for sure. Getting your input.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining me here. Remember to subscribe, write a review, and check out the show notes for other ways to connect. Nothing on this podcast is medical or legal advice. By engaging with this content, you agree to take full responsibility for your own experiences. Everything in this podcast is property of Prudence.